Tonight we celebrate Maundy Thursday, the Mass of the Last Supper. There's a couple of announcements, a reminder that there will be adoration of the Blessed Sacrament until midnight this night at the Altar of Repose down in the basement of the parish hall. So please, we do encourage you to make a visit, to spend some time with our Eucharistic Lord. Also, just a reminder, because our Lord is present so close in the basement, please do refrain from any speaking or talking in the vestibule after Mass. If you wish to visit, please do so outside out of respect for our Lord's presence. The epistle for Maundy Thursday is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 11. Brethren, when you come together into one place, it is not now to eat the Lord's Supper. For everyone taketh before his own supper to eat. And one indeed is hungry, and another is drunk. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and put them to shame that have not? What shall I say to you? Do I praise you? In this I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I received to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke it, and said, Take ye and eat, this is my body, which shall be delivered for you. This do for the commemoration of me. In like manner also the chalice, after he had supped, saying, This chalice is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you shall drink it, for the commemoration of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink this chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink the chalice of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the chalice. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. Therefore are there many infirm and weak among you, and many sleep. But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But whilst we are judged, we are chastised by the Lord, that we be not condemned with this world. And please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from that of St. John, chapter 13. Before the festival day of the Pasch, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And when supper was done, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he came from God and goeth to God, he riseth from supper and layeth aside his garments. And having taken a towel, he girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the feet of the disciples, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girt. He cometh therefore to Simon Peter, and Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou shalt not have part with me. Simon Peter saith to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not but to wash his feet, but is clean wholly. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who he was that would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. Then after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, being set down again, he said to them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so do you also. And these are the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful, as I said, tonight we celebrate the great mystery of the Last Supper. It was a night in which our Lord fulfills the Passover. He himself had said, I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. Well, it is on this night that our Lord fulfills the law of the Passover perfectly. To every detail, he completes it. But of course, he goes one step further. He perfects it. It is a night in which our Lord longs for his entire life. With desire, I have desired to eat this Pasch with you, he tells his apostles. It is, of course, a night in which our Lord gives us the greatest proofs of his love. We often say that true love is sacrificial. It is the gift of self. It is a noble love. It is a love which moves us to think of the beloved, the one that we love, rather than just our own selfish interests. Well, our Lord tonight gives us the most beautiful of all examples of true sacrificial love, of true noble love. He gives himself perfectly. He sacrifices himself perfectly. He does this by his own example in the washing of the feet. He shows us how love must act. He does this by perpetuating his office, by instituting the holy priesthood, by instituting the holy sacrifice of the Mass, continuing his work of sanctification, of sacrifice here in this world. And he does so by giving himself, his own precious body and blood, in the Holy Eucharist. It is on this night in which he gives Holy Communion for the very first time. He gives us an example with the washing of the apostles' feet. Such a noble love, wishing to serve. Although he is master, our Lord wishes to give us an example of what true love does. It moves us to act. It moves us to serve. It moves us to put the other's wishes, the other's needs, above our own. It is a disinterested love that places oneself at the service of others. Our Lord himself tells the apostles, "You see what I have done. I want you to do the same thing. I give you a new commandment, a new mandatum. Love one another. How? As I have loved you, with a perfect love, with a sacrificial love, with a love that knows no bounds, which counts no costs. That's how our Lord wants us to love each one of each other. He wants us to love us. He wants us to love one another with this perfect love. And thus, we must learn to serve others, to serve God, to forget self. That's true nobility. That's the life of a Christian. To live is to serve. To reign is to serve. And the soul that knows how to serve his neighbor for the love of God is the one who will reign with God in heaven. The one who sees Christ in those that he serves will understand what a privilege it is to serve, what a privilege it is to wash the other's feet. This is the example that our Lord gives us tonight in the washing of his apostles' feet. What's more, our Lord perpetuates his office as priest, as victim, as the great sacrifice par excellence. He ordains his apostles, his followers, his closest friends as priests in order to continue his ministry, to sanctify souls, to offer sacrifice, to be men of sacrifice. We must never forget that the priest, ordinary man that he is, sinner though he may be, is called out of the world and called to live the life of Christ, to be another Christ, and that our Lord somehow transforms this man into his image and likeness, into his own self. And thus the priest is a man of sacrifice, a man of great love. The Curia of Ars once said, the priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus. The priest is meant to be an image of the Sacred Heart, an image of the love, the merciful love of our Lord. And that's why the priest must love to forgive his flock, must love to call his flock to a life of perfection, and must lead his flock to a life of perfection. With our priest, we have Christ walking amongst us. Human though they may be, with all of their faults they may be, he is Christ amongst us. And that's why we must love our priests with the love of Christ. And we must pray for our priests. We must sacrifice for our priests. And what's more, of course, we must love the priest because the priest brings us the Mass. The Mass is the most perfect sacrifice imaginable. It is the sacrifice of Christ himself. It is on this night of the Last Supper in which our Lord offers the very first Mass, the perfect sacrifice, the noblest action imaginable. And that is why it is not by any means an exaggeration to say that the Mass is the most perfect action in the history of mankind, that we can think of nothing more perfect than the Mass, that you are literally assisting at the most important event in the history of mankind, because the Mass is the same sacrifice as Calvary. We are mystically present at Calvary with every Mass that we assist at. And that's why we can be doing nothing better. We can be doing nothing more important than assisting at Mass. From time to time, we must stop and think of what we are doing at Mass and how important the Mass is. Again, the Curia of Ars says that it's easier for the world to exist without the sun than for it to exist without the Mass. The Mass is so vital. The Mass is so important. The Mass is so full of grace. It applies the grace of Christ's death on the cross to our souls. And therefore, we must love the Mass. We must live the Mass, the same sacrifice as Calvary. Finally, our Lord gives himself to us in the most perfect way imaginable, in the institution of the Holy Eucharist, in the institution of his own body and blood, which he gives to his apostles for the very first time. Our Lord had told them, or it tells them in the last discourse, abide in my love. How are we to abide in Christ's love? By receiving his precious body and blood, by reverencing him on our altars, in our tabernacles. Our Lord wishes to remain with us in our churches, in our souls, by his Eucharistic presence, the most intimate union imaginable. That's why it's so absurd when you hear Protestants or you hear a non-Catholic say that our religion is a cold, impersonal religion. It's full of formulas. It's full of distant coldness. That's insane. We have the most perfect union, the most intimate union imaginable. We receive Christ himself, and our Lord dwells within us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the Holy Eucharist. What a gift, what a privilege to be able to receive our Lord, who is both reward for the good and also remedy for the sinner, who cures us of our ills, who helps us, who brings us grace to resist temptation, to overcome our sins, to live a life of perfection. The Holy Eucharist, of course, is the sacrament of love. If this night is a night in which our Lord manifests his love, it can be no greater manifestation than when we receive our Lord's precious body and blood in Holy Communion. When we have our Lord dwelling within us, that is the surest proof that our Lord loves us and loves us profoundly. Finally, of course, it is this night in which our Lord gives his last discourse to his apostles, his last will and testament, his final proof of his love for them. He prays for their unity, that you may be one, as I and the Father are one. A unity which, of course, is based on Christ himself. A unity which is founded upon love. He tells them very clearly, love one another as I have loved you. I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends because I've revealed everything that I have to you. That's what friends do. And finally, he encourages his apostles to follow his example. Have no fear, I have overcome the world. And you too will overcome the world by love, by the love of Christ. And so, my dear faithful, tonight we commemorate Christ's great love, his love for his heavenly Father, his love for his apostles, and his love for each one of us. We must thank God for his favors, for the proofs of his love. And we will thank him. We will show our gratitude by serving one another, figuratively washing one another's feet. We will prove our love, our gratitude to him by praying for our priests, the other Christs in our lives. We will show our gratitude for his love by loving the Mass, by living the Mass, by placing the greatest importance upon the Mass. And finally, we will show our gratitude to our Lord for his love, by receiving Holy Communion with the greatest amount of love, the greatest amount of fervor, the greatest amount of gratitude. Our Lord tells us very clearly, abide in my love. This is the night which he proves his love for us. Let us prove our love for him by remaining in his love, by abiding in his love, and being drawn by his love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.